in togetherness. Okay? In togetherness. Father, we pray, Lord, that you will have thine own way today and open the canon of scriptures today, Father, because we are needy people today. We're bombarded with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And Satan comes to sift us as wheat. But you have overcome us, because greater is in us, Jesus Christ, than he, the fallen demons that is in the world. And we thank you for the victory. Amen. And then, Father, we would be not remiss to pray for Dick for the restoration, and as he contemplate his anniversary of June the 5th. Be with this dear brother, this dear deacon, Father, as he's struggling perhaps with the death of his beloved wife. And Father, one day he will be united with her, and that would be joy. Be with Cheryl's beloved relative, Father, and restore her and give her recovery and the spiritual insight that she needs, Father. And we'll praise you, Father. And then we would pray, Lord, for our dear pianist this morning, Father, for her eyesight and recovery, and that you would touch her in a very special way. And we thank you, Lord, for her for even being here today and sacrificing because it's her love for the Savior. Thank you, Father, for this hour. We give you the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Friends, the subject today will be riches, the riches of the gospel of grace. And that will be found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, please. Verses 1 through 11. I'm not going to take time out to read that, but we'll go accordingly. Riches of the gospel of grace. Glad that you're here today, and that you will get a blessing from God on high, his great revelation. You know, Paul opens his letter to this church in Ephesus by likening the church to a body. You know, the church is a temple. The church is a bride. And some says the church is we are soldiers. And that's metaphorically speaking. And but this institution of the church, it was planted by the Father. This just to give you some background, what I want to talk about. It was planted by the Father. And the church, beloved, was purchased by the Son, Jesus Christ, wasn't it? He's the head of the church. In the Greek, is called out ones of the ecclesia. But it was preserved by the Holy Spirit. And it is through the greatness and the faithfulness and the power of the living God that made this happen. Amen. And it's the creation of the body of Christ, planted by the Father, and is selected to all of us. And this all happened before he made the world. He thought about you and I in past ages. And he have given us the riches in Jesus Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote this, and he considered himself as the chief of sinners. In the past ages, how could a perfect God erect the chief of sinners, the Apostle Paul. I consider myself as a chief of sinners. But by his marvelous grace, we're going to see. And there's no doubt that Paul wrote this this epistle, letter to the Ephesians, Christian. But prior to this, he was a devoted rabbi named Saul of Tarsus. And he was the leader of the anti-Christian movement in Jerusalem. And so it's no doubt that he wrote the book of Ephesians. He won while he was persecuting Christians. Then something happened. I think we mentioned this last week, too. It just happened to be on my sermon. To the Damascus Road, and Jesus Christ arrested this man. He arrested me one day and got my attention. And I was converted, and Paul was converted. So the letter was written from Rome about the year AD after the death of Christ, 62. And obviously, look at verse 1, and the apostle, and Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Jesus Christ. He's writing to the saints, called out ones. But to be more concise, he's writing to the faithful in Jesus Christ. The faithful in Jesus Christ. There were one to put their, the ones that had put their faith in Jesus Christ, the saved ones. That's who he was writing to. The word grace is used 12 times in Ephesians and refers to the kindness of God towards undeserving people. That's what grace really is behind that thought. We know it means unmerited favor, but it really means the kindness of God. We sang about it. The kindness of God towards undeserving people. If you think you deserve salvation, you can stand up, let me know something about it. Someone said so beautiful, God in his mercy doesn't give us what we do deserve. Throughout Israel history and all the great giants and all the great wicked kings or good kings, whatever, it behind the scene is this mercy has been with God, the remnant of God's people. And it's, he does something that we do not deserve. It's mercy. And God in his grace gives us what we don't deserve, don't he? Yes, he does. From the ages and ages of past eternity, election or predestination. Grace and faith goes together because the only way to experience grace and salvation, it must go through the channel of faith. Faith don't save you, but it's the channel that you find salvation. Grace to you, verse 2, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, Paul's writing to these this church is Ephesus. Blessed be God the Father, verse 3, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You see, the Christian riches is in Christ. That's where we get our riches from. And the benefits are phenomenal because as we have obtained salvation, we have the capacity of knowing God.
Yes, we do.
Knowing God. Being adopted in the family of God. The believer has the benefit of forgiveness of sins. He gives us spiritual insight that unsaved folks do not have. He gives us the gifts of the Spirit. He gives us God's will for our lives. And he gives us hope because we, in Jesus Christ, hope of living with Christ forever in the kingdom of God. Those are the benefits in verse 3 he's saying. Blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. In his great book, Be Rich, Warren Wisby stated, God, through the Father, has made us rich in Jesus Christ. When you were born again into God's family, you were born rich through Christ. You shared in the riches of God's grace, God's glory, God's mercy, and unsearchable riches of Christ. Beautiful. End of quote. So verse 4, according as he have chosen us, you and I, in Jesus Christ, before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He has chosen us. You know, so God for himself, he chose a people for his own. And Peter amplifies that here in 1 Peter chapter 2. I want you to listen. Chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. But Peter wrote this, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into this marvelous light, which in time past you were not a people, but are now the people of God, which now obtain mercy, listen, but now have obtained mercy. We were not always under the priesthood of Jesus Christ. We've been aliens. We've been worms. Remember, there was a song about that. But now, past tense, we are chosen. You and I are a chosen generation. Don't that make you so humble today?
Yes, sir. Amen.
It's not what you have gotten, but what you have gained. But it's by his grace and his mercy and his loving kindness. He have chosen, the Bible says, ye have not chosen me, Christ says, but I have chosen you.
Amen.
You know, the lost sinner left to his own, you and I, we don't have a desire to seek God. It's just not there. No man seeks after God. Paul said here, in Romans 3:10, I want you to take a listen there, that how we do not seek after God. We do not seek after God. He seek after us, doesn't he? Because it says here in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, not one. Not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. We just don't do it. It's just not in our spiritual DNA. But according to a seminary professor once said, try to explain election. Try to explain why you were chosen into God's family. Election, you may lose your mind, but try to explain it, but you will lose your soul if you don't believe it. In a quote. So we see salvation always initiate with God. Our first parents, Adam and Eve. God sought to get them back into fellowship when they blown it. Listen to the old guile of the serpent, the snake. Where art thou? They hid themselves. But God made the initial roll call back into order in this dispensation of innocence. God's plan to rescue Adam and Eve in the second dispensation of consciousness. He kilted animals and goats of skins to revive them and to get them back into their senses and to realization in harmony with their maker. So we see all three of the Godheads are involved in our salvation. It was God the Father saved us in past eternity for the remissions of sins. Then as far as God the Son is concerned, the time came on the Roman cross 2,000 years ago that was planned many hundreds, perhaps millions of years ago, that the year 2000 was coming, AD 3, that Jesus Christ was going to die and give us salvation for the remission of our sins. And as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned, we were saved when we yielded to his conviction and to be reconciled to the Savior before the foundations of the world. That's awesome. D.L. Moody used to pray, "Lord, save the elect and elect some more." Look at verse 5, Ephesians chapter 1, please. Verse 5. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. God saves who he wants to save, and he knows who's going to come to the throne of grace and who knows going to accept him as their personal savior. He knows that. But it's our job to go and to make disciples. We don't know the mind of God. But we must go in obedience. Amen. To save and take his word literally, because he come to save and to seek that which was lost. So we learned the term adoption has a dual meaning, both present and future. The first aspect of this is a new birth is required. Nicodemus, you heard, remember, what must I do to be saved? How can a person be born again second into his mother's womb? We must get that taken care of first. Except a man be born again, Jesus said, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The future aspect of the adoption is found in Romans 8:23. Now, I just want you to take a listen here, 8:22. For we know that the whole creation groans and travail in pain together until now. Now this is our verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which we have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wilt the redemption of our body. Someday, and it won't be a day too soon, someday we're going to enjoy the fullness of the adoption as and unite with Christ and his fellow believers. And you and I know what really in fullness of what adoption means. And having a glorified body. And we see here in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he have made us accepted in the beloved. God sees the believer in Christ as he accepts the believer just as he's received his own son on the cross. If you remember at Jesus' baptism, he said, God accepted Jesus, and he was baptized, and he heard a voice from heaven. This is my beloved son, whom I am well pleased. This is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. How we are sealed into the body of Christ and baptized in the Spirit of Christ and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We see here in verse 7, in whom we have redemption, and through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Think the two main thoughts of this verse, redemption and forgiveness. Redemption means what? To set free or to liberate after paying a price. That's what the word really behind redemption. It's like buying a slave out of slavery in order to set one's free. And someone said, sin can do three things for you. It can take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than what you want to stay, and cost you more than you have to pay. We need to be free from the slave market of sin. And then the second twist of this verse is forgiveness. It depends on the shedding blood it demands, and it depends on a payment of the penalty for our sin. Christ's death and shedding of his precious blood is the foundation for forgiveness, and without there could be no forgiveness. Point blank. So the word forgive, it means to really carry away. Jesus Christ has carried away our guilt, our sin. Hallelujah. John in 1:29, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the whole world. And that includes you and I. Isn't that exciting? You and I don't have to carry on our back the burden of sin, our trespasses and sin, because Jesus Christ has eradicated that for the child of God. And we see here in verse 11 and 12, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. God has his own system. We don't understand it, but we had to believe it. Think of the price God paid to purchase and to make us part of his beautiful inheritance. God the Son is the Father's love gift to us, beloved. And we are the Father's love gift to his Son. Isn't that beautiful? We are the Father's love gift. you and I are a love gift. And we, that makes us a joint heir, united in Jesus Christ. We're going to wrap this up here. These verses are basically saying the Holy Spirit has worked in our lives, and this is the process of salvation. This is the process of salvation. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Paul says in Romans 10, 17. But as many as received him, you heard that 1,000 times in verse John 1, 12. But as many as received him, gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believed on his name. And you and I have exercised that. Then what happens? Peter says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, in this of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, causes us to hear and to believe in our hearts and respond to the call of salvation, makes him one a child of God when we do so, when we appropriate that fact. It's just like Dr. J. Vernon McGee said, it's like earnest money. It's the money that is put forth as a down payment. Jesus Christ, beloved, has put a down payment on you and I from the past ages. And it's almost like a piece of property, and it means you want to hold the property. We are in a holding situation. The body of Christ is in a hold position till he comes back. And the Holy Spirit is like the earnest money, right? You follow me? Okay. Follow me now, okay. I don't want you to get into a rabbit trail here. And he has given us a pledge token, okay? He has given you salvation, inheritance, wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and to the day of redemption. That it is that there is more to come. It's more to follow. This life is not it. If you bank it on this life, you're grossly misunderstood. This world is falling apart. It's coming unglued. And our brother was listening to Dr. Jeremiah in the tribulation. That's the next thing on God's prophetic calendar. And I'm going to try to get them CDs and sit down and try to learn the outline and preach this word. These things need to come across our pulpits and warn people about the great tribulation and that all the other elements and components that's coming to this world. Every single day, it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. That's not part of my sermon. I'm sorry. So, to wrap this all up, this is Jesus Christ. As we follow the spiritual blessing, we have an inheritance, and it's more to come than this 70. I'm 70, and so in other words, they say, I'm on borrowed time. Roger, too. There's more to follow this life. This is not it. Follow Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit gives us the earnest until the day of redemption. And to the praise, we should give the praise to the glory of Jesus Christ. In his letter to the Romans, Paul wrote about the universal sinness of men. Because of sin, friends, listen, we die. We're to face God's wrath, and we're God's enemies. by nature. Yet despite of our rebelliousness of sin, God does something for us that we can't do for ourselves, and it's through mercy and grace. He demonstrated his great love by giving us his son, Jesus Christ, didn't he? Yes. To be the propitiation, appealing sacrifice for our justification. And that while we was yet doing our own things as sinners, Christ died for the ungodly, didn't he? That we can be saved from God's anger and condemnation. Instead of being enemies, we have a new relationship in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that through the dark ages, you have elected us. We didn't choose Jesus Christ, but you have chosen us to be in the beloved. And what a soul privilege. Not that we're better than anybody else, but you have chosen a royal priesthood, a special people for your name, to the, your honor, for your glory. We don't understand it, but we had to believe it. And we thank you for the great inheritance, not made with silver and gold, but by the shedding of the precious blood of the Lamb of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And all God's people said, amen.